The NFL spring meeting opens on Monday, an event where they'll vote upon several rule change proposals. To break down these rules, we'll be joined by Jason Perrone of AllGBP.com. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports, Railbird Central, next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about some off-season matters this morning. We're talking about the NFL spring meeting, and to do that, we have us joining us on the phone this morning. We have a special guest.
Expert interview.
We have Jason Perrone of AllGBP.com. Mr. Perrone, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. Good to be back on the show. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. But before we get to some the spring meeting and these rule changes to kick things off here, did you see Pitch Perfect 2 this past weekend?
You know, I didn't go see Pitch Perfect 2. I didn't even see the first one, to be honest with you. And I have to say, you know, I don't have daughters or anything like that. So I'm thinking if four or five of the Green Bay Packers starring or appearing in one of these movies doesn't compel me to go on opening weekend. I don't know how that votes for me seeing it in theaters, but I'm pretty sure I'll at least want to see the guys in action on YouTube or through some medium that's out there.
Yeah, same here. I'm not sure you could get me to watch the full Pitch Perfect 2, even if it's on just a replay on cable a few months down the road, except for maybe the 2 minutes that the Green Bay Packers are on. But anyway, on to football matters here this morning. The NFL spring meeting opens on Monday. Rule changes being voted upon at some point over the course of the next 3 days, still kind of unsure when the vote will actually take place. But Jason, let's run through some of these proposals, changes to the PATs, point after touchdowns, and there's a bunch of them here, kind of three different versions of the same rule, and we'll start with the first. What's first of all your opinion on moving extra point kicks back to the 15-yard line?
Well, I guess that's one. You know, there's been a lot of rule changes and discussions lately, and I think the league is really trying to find what perfect is for the NFL and what the fans want and to get maximum excitement. I think this rule probably of the different versions, if they're going to change it, makes the most sense, because I think really what the league wants, for lack of a better term, is drama. They want a little bit more drama involved in the extra point. I think there were 1,267 PATs last season. Only five of them were missed. Two of them were by Mason Crosby, incidentally. And so, obviously, you know,
they were blocks, to be fair.
They were blocks. That is correct. They were both blocked. That's true. They're going to get special turnaround. But, you know, that's over 99%, you know, of a success rate there. And so, basically what this equates to is 30 seconds of exactly, we know exactly what's going to happen. And so, I think the league wants to add a little bit more intrigue. And, you know, that parlays then into some of the two-point conversion discussions that are happening as well. But, you know, I would say if you're going to make a change, you know, make a sweeping change if you're really going to do it. And I don't know if they're planning on testing it out during the preseason again or if they're just going to implement it. But that's the one I think makes the most sense is move it back and really create a question as to whether or not it's going through the uprights or not.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is that this is going to be implemented full time if that is indeed the case, because they experimented with just the simple version of just moving back the kick for, what was it, 2 weeks in the preseason last year. So I think a change is coming. It's just a matter of how much change, because kind of leads me into my next question here. Kind of the rule proposal A, B, and C, they all move the kickback to the 15-yard line, but the next rule proposal adds the opportunity for the defensive team to score 2 points if they, you know, return a fumble or a block or something like that. Do you like that aspect of the 2-point conversion?
I do, because then you've got both sides of the ball going 100% and trying to make something happen. And if they're fortunate enough, and if they're, you know, wise enough, they scheme well, and they make a play or they get a block, I think they should absolutely be rewarded. I think it's something where, you know, it's one thing to stop a PAT or try to block it, but, you know, if you have an opportunity to gain some momentum for your team or put some more points on the board on, you know, what has now become a more meaningful play, I think that only helps in what we're seeing as fans, and it only helps the action on the field.
Yeah, college football already has that in place, and I'm kind of surprised it's taken the NFL this long to add. To me, that's a no-brainer, almost even more so than moving the kickback. Like, I don't understand why there's hasn't been the opportunity for the defensive team to score. I like it. And finally here, the rule proposal, the third one or the add-on here, do you like moving the 2-point conversion try to the 1-yard line, and do you think it'll encourage teams to go for it more often?
This is one that kind of puzzled me a little bit, and this is where I kind of ask some of my colleagues who are a little more of X's and O's than I am, and I really kind of try to think through this, because you're not really making a huge change to where the ball is placed, but yet the discussion seems to have been that there's going to be more enticement for the offenses to try to go for two instead of taking the extra point attempt in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that 1 yard makes such a huge pivotal difference that it's going to really ramp up how many teams decide to hand the ball off, or, you know, you've got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you figure he can get 1 yard one way or another. But I think the league must know something. I don't, then, if that's the case. And I think they want to see more fireworks, more offense, more excitement. And again, it goes back to that word again, that drama. They want a little bit of that what if and the anticipation by the fans.
We're talking to Jason Perrone of allgbp.com here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Jason, I'll be writing a post later today about a recent interview with kicker Mason Crosby and his opinion that moving extra points to the 15-yard line kind of raises the value of the kicker in the NFL. But that being said, if they actually move the 2-point conversion to the 1-yard line, might it actually decrease the value of the kicker in the NFL?
I think it could. I think it's going to be dependent on what the actual outcome of how many teams are going for two is. If all the discussions have been correct and there's just a huge uptick in the number of teams that are going for two and taking the 2-point try over the extra point, then naturally you're going to see potentially the value of kickers decrease. But, I mean, there's still field goals during the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that, and those are – you know, kickers have gotten a lot more accurate, and they've gotten a lot better over the past decade. You know, they're very accurate. So, I mean, it seems like they make it look easy, but it's very valuable to have that guy that can get the ball through the uprights. And we're talking about, you know, the 50-plus. I mean, think about Lambeau Field for specifically, you know, kicking 45, 50-plus, especially in the cold and with the winds that stadium tends to get, is no small task. So it could decrease the value a little bit, but I'm not exactly sure what we're going to see as far as the 2-point conversions go. So, you know, I think if they move the extra point back, then, you know, absolutely, I think you're going to see the value increase on kickers, but they're still very important.
So if the 2-point conversions are moved to the 1-yard line, I'm asking you to put a percentage on it. What percentage of the time do you think teams would go for two if the rule change actually goes through?
That's tough to say, and honestly, you know, I didn't.
I'm looking for a number here.
A number. Well, and I was going to say I didn't even know. I guess I didn't know what the percentages were last year. I feel like it's definitely gone up over time because the offensive and schemes have changed. I mean, I don't think it would be half. I'd say it'd probably be somewhere between 30% and 50%, maybe, and that might even be on the high side. But it just seems like that's what the league is after, and I think that, you know, like I said, with offenses developing and you know what we saw, especially you look at the Super Bowl. I mean, that game was decided on a play that was within 2 or 3 yards of the goal line. So, you know, those types of situations, you've got these big receivers with the jump ball. I mean, there's a lot of different ways teams can scheme and plan for just such a scenario. So I don't know. I mean, I'll throw a number out. I guess it's a wide range number, but I'd say somewhere between 30% to 50%.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, like, it's only 1 yard. I mean, even a quarterback sneak, you know, you don't have to go that far to get in the end zone. I don't know if you always want to go with a quarterback sneak, but I'm just saying it's, you know, not a far distance, I guess, especially when you're right under center.
Right.
Jason, I go ahead. Did you have something to add?
I felt like I cut you off there.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to ask you about your recently published column at allgbp.com titled "Ryan's Success Pivotal for Green Bay," that you wrote about recently drafted linebacker Jake Ryan, fourth round draft choice. And if you could you just kind of, for maybe those who haven't read it yet, just kind of sum up your premise of this column?
Well, you know, I always like to intrigue the writer. So, of course, you know, there's the bait title right there. I mean, I'm very realistically, we know Jake Ryan was a fourth-round draft pick. So to ask a fourth-rounder to come in and be an all-pro or an immediate impact player is not necessarily the most realistic take. And I kind of went after a little bit of low-hanging fruit here, too, because inside linebacker is a big need area for the Packers this year with Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk gone as the two starters last year. And then Sam Barrington came in, and he'll be back, but he's still young and developing. So the idea behind this here is that, you know, the Packers got a great value in Ryan in the fourth round. He was a captain at Michigan. He's got the measurables. He stands at 6'3". And, you know, doesn't have the blazing speed, but he definitely has the tools to become something special in the NFL if he does develop the way that he really can and maxes out his potential. And I think that, you know, really this had to do a lot with Clay Matthews. If you read the piece, you know, it was about the fact that the Packers moved Clay Matthews inside last season. They'll probably do so again this year. I don't think they're going to completely abandon that, even if Jake Ryan turns out to be more than they hoped. You know, they're still going to move Clay Matthews around. The element of surprise and keep offenses guessing is what the Packers want. But I think if Jake Ryan does develop and if he is able to take some pressure off of Matthews, move Clay Matthews back to the outside, then you've got what the Packers defense has been predicated on for the last 5 or 6 seasons, which is that pass rush. You've got Julius Peppers coming back. You've got Clay Matthews coming back. And if he's able to spend, you know, even 75% or more of his time on the outside, that's what he's getting paid for, and that's where he's most valuable to the Packers. Now, if Jake Ryan doesn't develop right away and he's not starting right away, are the Packers in trouble? No, I don't think so. I think they've got a plan there. But I think that if you want to go, you know, take the Packers to the next level and they want to get over the hump, they're going to need to do so on the defensive side of the ball. If you look at the beginning of last year, they had some struggles. But if Jake Ryan can come in and win a starting job, and he's able to help plug some holes, especially in the run game, I think the Packers get off to a pretty hot start, both offensively and defensively, and that momentum can carry them throughout the rest of the season. And by the time the season's over, Ryan's developed enough to the point where you've got a well-oiled machine. I think the Packers can be very dangerous in the postseason under that scenario.
Just hypothetically here, what if Ryan is a bust or he's injured or he's just not ready as a rookie? I mean, none of these things are certainly out of the realm of possibility. What does that mean to the Packers defense? Is Clay Matthews playing more at inside linebacker then, or is somebody else, a Carl Bradford, or I don't know who, but I mean, what would that mean?
Well, the Packers didn't address this area in free agency, and they drafted Jake Ryan, but really they're going with what they've got. And I think, you know, Carl Bradford, really outside of Sam Barrington, is the only real true inside linebacker that's left on the roster if you don't want to put Clay Matthews in that position. So So if Ryan busts out or he gets hurt or he's not available at all this season, I think that's going to put a lot of stress on that defense. I talked about, you know, if he doesn't, you know, if Ryan doesn't develop right away, are they in trouble? And I don't think so. I think they've got time to bring him along, but they're definitely going to need something from him this season. And again, realistically, do you want to expect a fourth rounder to develop? Not generally speaking, but I think Jake Ryan might be a little bit of a different case just because of the pedigree, the fact that he was a captain, he's a smart player, he's got the measurables, and he kind of fell to the Packers in the fourth round. But in your case there, Brian, if he busts out, I think you're gonna have to see more of Clay Matthews in the middle, and then hopefully the Packers have an answer for getting a pass rush on the outside and manning the outside as well, because that's going to be an area that's vacated by, unfortunately, having to move Clay back inside.
Well, interesting discussion nonetheless. We'll be directing our listeners, our readers, to that article, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate a little bit of Packers talk at a slow time of year where there's little going on in the way of news, at least until OTAs begin. But it's good talking to you, Jason.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Congrats again on 24/7.
Oh, thanks a lot. Take care. Jason Perrone of allgbp.com joining us here at Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. And now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
Here we are on a Monday, and the news over the weekend, the Green Bay Packers helped Pitch Perfect 2 become the number one movie in the domestic box office, grossing $70.3 million in its opening weekend. So there you go. Clay Matthews, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, David Bakhtiari, and Don Barclay helping become the number one movie in the nation over the weekend. Interesting, though, that they were, however, edged out worldwide, finishing just third to Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Mad Max Fury Road. Kind of interesting that the Pitch Perfect 2 doesn't reaches a very high amount of audience domestically, but outside the borders of the United States, not quite so much. I suppose the rest of the world is into the blockbuster type of movie, the Avengers or Mad Max. And by the way, I did happen to go to Mad Max over the weekend. You do not, if you're considering, oh, I'll wait for it on video or whatever, you know, wait till it comes out on cable. Don't wait for Mad Max to come out on cable. This is the type of movie you want to see on the big screen. It is definitely a blockbuster. And action-packed, to say the least. You're on the edge of your seat for like two straight hours. Fantastic, fantastic movie. Not to say that Pitch Perfect isn't, but there you go. There's the results of the box office and the latest news involving the Green Bay Packers. Like I said here, at a time of year where it's a slow news cycle here. But next we have
The Day Ahead.
As we discussed earlier, the NFL spring meetings open on Monday, but it's just the first of 3 days of meetings. There's been no word when precisely the rules would be voted upon. And if I had to guess, it's not going to happen on Monday. It just makes sense that they'll allow some time to discuss and deliberate before taking a vote. And just kind of my two cents on the subject here, as we, you know, discussed in depth the rules proposals to the PAT, or point after touchdown, you know, moving the kick back to the 15-yard line, adding the, you know, the opportunity for the defense to return it, and finally the moving potentially the 2-point conversion to the 1-yard line. It, you know, just one small technicality here that I'm not sure I like, and it's that there's always been the chance for a fake extra point. Not that you see it often at all, but it, you know, there was always the chance that a team could line up in a kick formation, but then go for two out of it, either with a pass or a run or whatever. And like I said, as far as the NFL is concerned, you don't see it very often. But actually, what makes the college game so unique, and you see it out of the University of Oregon quite a bit, is that swinging gate type of extra point where they line up all the blockers way off to one side of the field, and then they usually just have the long snapper, the holder, and the kicker, you know, in the middle of the field. And it's sometimes it's weird. I mean, they, despite there being basically no blockers, sometimes they'll, you know, snap it and kick the extra point just because, you know, all the defenders move away too. But then there's also been the opportunity that where they run some kind of crazy play for 2 points. And you know, I don't know whether that would become in vogue in the NFL or not. Perhaps it would be more to an extent if they were to just move everything to the 1 yard line, whether it's extra points, kicks, or whatever. I mean, that's not an option, but I'm just saying hypothetically. But it's taking away that element of surprise, I guess, from the game, in that that would no longer be an option. It's either kick from the 15 for 1 point or go for the 2 point conversion. And it's just one or the other. There's not that going to be that element of surprise anymore. And I think that's why, of all the rule change proposals, that the second one has perhaps the most likely of, you know, being changed. That's rule proposal A, just moving the kick back and that's it. Rule proposal B, moving the kick back and adding the opportunity for the defense to return it. I think that's the one that's going to end up being proposed or actually voted upon, changed. And finally, the one that I don't think will happen, I don't think we will see 2 points from the 1 yard line, because what's also interesting here in, and the one kind of one last minor detail here where we're really parsing the rules, is in the first two rule change proposals, moving the kick back and adding the opportunity for the defense to score, the team has the opportunity, the offensive team has the opportunity to change their mind after, let's say, a timeout or a penalty. If they get up to the line of scrimmage, they don't like what the formation they see out of the defense, you know, they could call a timeout. Let's say they were going for two and they could instead change to a kick. Under the last, very last, you know, rule change proposal that moves 2 point conversions to the 1 yard line, there is then, it's go for two or go for one, and you are committed to that no matter what happens. So if you go for two and you have a false start penalty and you're, you know, kicked back 5 yards, you can't change your mind and then, you know, then kick the football. So I guess that's another reason I see that is kind of the least likely of all the rule changes of happening, of taking place. I think I kind of like it, actually, that you can change your mind even after a penalty, I suppose, to instead of go for the 2 point conversion, you can go for the kick. It adds a little bit of flexibility. I guess it's a little bit of a cop out, but I suppose, you know, if you do get penalized, you know, on an extra point, you are moving it now back to the 20-yard line, makes it a little bit harder of a kick, things like that. I asked Twitter before the show what they thought of changing the rules on extra points, on PATs in the NFL. here's some of the responses I got from Earthquake320 on Twitter. He says, an automatic 7 points for touchdowns with the option of going for two from the two-yard line. Also on Twitter, Salvador Daqui, if I'm pronouncing that right, I'd move everything to extra points, two-point conversions to the one-yard line. Samuel Shear on Twitter, have the kick from the 20-yard line, then have the two-point conversion at the two-yard line, encouraging teams to go for two. Tony Wilson on Twitter, I'd either leave it as is or move the kick back. And finally, Luke Mills on Twitter, move the kick back to the 25, so actually 10 yards more than what they're doing it now. So some interesting, almost everybody there suggested something slightly different. There seems to be no consensus, at least from the small sample size of fans that I pulled, that they'd like to see happen with the PAT rule in the NFL. Like I said, I think the second rule change has the most likelihood of happening. 15 yards back and defense having the opportunity to return it for a two-point conversion of their own. I think that's what we'll see down the road here from the NFL in the upcoming days. Like I said, when precisely the vote takes place, I'm not sure. Don't think it'll happen on Monday, perhaps Tuesday or Wednesday. We will find out. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Jason Perrone of AllGBP.com for being our guest on today's show. We'll be back again on Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at the same time, 8:30 a.m., and on demand later in the day. Almost as soon as the show ends, you can watch it whenever you please. Check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, or any other way you listen to a podcast as well, which reminds me of our call to action. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's one small thing. This podcast is free, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask you otherwise is to give us a rating on iTunes. Helps us get the word about the show, helps us get an even wider audience, and makes the product hopefully even better. So we'll see you later, folks. See you 2 days from now. I leave you today with a song called Betray the Dark by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.